We're in the midst of a study of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 19. We're right in the middle of the account of this, the central theme of all of the Word of God, beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God promised that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent and that redemption would be brought to mankind through the shedding of blood as he made garments from the innocent animals. We have the story of the cross from Genesis all the way through to the book of the Revelation, where the Apostle John said, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." So the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the central theme of the Word of God. I have often said it. I've said it on the air here and in meetings time and time again. If you begin on any subject in the Scripture and study it carefully, putting Scripture to Scripture and tracing throughout the Bible the theme that you begin with, if you do not wind up at the cross, you have gone astray somewhere in your study. For the main central theme of the Word of God is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave himself as the incarnate Son of God upon the cross, put that body, allowed that body to be put on the cross to shed that perfect blood to make an atonement for our sins, that he was crucified, that he was buried, and that he rose again, completing our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are very, very precious scriptures, and I'm not going to do a whole lot more than just read them in your hearing. We're in John chapter 19, beginning with verse 7. Beginning with verse 7. In verse 6, we talked about how the angry mob of people who were against the Lord Jesus Christ before Pilate cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then Pilate said, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Now, if he had made himself the Son of God, then he would have been guilty of breaking the Jewish law, because there is only one Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And so, since Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh, and by the way, I say it one more time, the thing that incensed the Jews most, the thing that caused most trouble religiously when Jesus was upon this earth, was the fact that he claimed to be God. Now, nothing more well proven. Nothing could be more well proven than the fact that he was the Son of God, because he performed miracles that no man could perform. He made statements that no man could have made. Therefore, he proved himself to be the Son of God, but they rejected him. They did not believe that he was the Son of God. So when they come before Pilate, their accusation is, he made himself the Son of God. Well, Jesus was the Son of God, and if he was just an ordinary man and had claimed to be God, then he would have been deserving of stoning or crucifixion by the Jewish people. They didn't crucify, they stoned. He would have been worthy of that. So they said, by our law, he is guilty of death. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. He was the more afraid. Now, why that? Because he had been in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been in his presence. Can you imagine being in the presence of God and not knowing it? Even a person who is lost, even a person as wicked as Pilate surely must have been, even a person who cared nothing for religion except getting himself in favor with the religious crowd in Jerusalem, even he had to recognize that he was in the presence of someone like he had never seen or heard or been in the presence of before. So he was more afraid because now he realized that Jesus claimed to be God. He was different. There was no fault to be found in him. And certainly it crossed his mind, I wonder if he is the Messiah of Israel. All right, now he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. He had had all the answers that Jesus was going to give him, so he did not answer him on that occasion. Then said Pilate, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Well, he's certainly putting himself up in a powerful position, isn't he? Standing there talking to the Son of God, talking to God himself, saying, I have the power to put you to death. And then Jesus simply answered in a quiet manner, I'm sure, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So Jesus Christ recognized that though Pilate was guilty, now you say he said greater sin. He did not exonerate Pilate. He did not exonerate him. He did not say, Pilate, you are not guilty. He did not say, the Jews are guilty, you're not. He didn't say that. He said, they have the greater sin. So a greater sin and a lesser sin, both are sin. So let's do not excuse Pilate for his actions. He could have refused to turn Jesus over to the Jews for crucifixion, but he did not do so. Therefore, he is just as guilty as Israel was guilty, the leaders of Israel was guilty in refusing to accept Jesus as the Son of God. All right, so there is a lesser and a greater sin according to this scripture. Now, all sin is sin. All sin is against a holy God. All sin must be brought under the judgment of God. We know that. The tiniest lie, if there is such a thing, that has been told is a guilt of sin before a holy God and is enough to bring judgment of God upon it. Consequently, the worst murder or mass murder that could be completed is a greater sin in the eyes of men and maybe even in the eyes of God, because there are lesser and greater sins. The scripture says that the Lord said, He that hath knows and did not shall be beaten with many stripes. He that knew not and did not shall be beaten with few stripes. So there is a lesser and a greater sin. When I was a child, I remember just beginning to preach at the age of 15. I didn't have too many opportunities at that time, but I did get to speak to some youth groups and speak occasionally in the churches around here in our area. And on several occasions, speaking to youth groups right here in the area where I live now, I remember saying to them, If you're not going to be saved, have all the fun you can have, commit all the sin you can commit, because it's all going to be over and you're going to burn forever in hell, so you'd better have a good time here. Well, that was a wrong statement. I shouldn't have said that, simply because if you're not going to get saved, by all means, there will be degrees of punishment in hell. And by all means, the better you live, the better off you're going to be.